All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Manson, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Now, welcome back. 2 hours down here on overtime on 95.7. The game, Rams knock off the Niners 27-24. This was one of the more frustrating losses I can remember as a 49er fan. Kyle Madsen unofficially is calling it the worst loss, the most frustrating loss, the most disappointing loss, whatever adjective you want to use in the Kyle Shanahan era. That's how bad this one was. The Niners led basically for the entire game. They scored with 11 minutes and 12 seconds left on the clock, which means it took them 3 minutes and 48 seconds to score, to take a lead in this game. They led all the way until the 151 mark when the Rams tied it, and they only trailed for the final 2 seconds of the game after the Rams kicked the go-ahead field goal from 37 yards out to win 27-24. It's not just that, though. It's who these Rams are, and these Rams are not the Rams of last year when they put together an awesome second half of the season, went to the postseason, darn near could have won a playoff game, probably should have. They were really, really close to beating the Lions in Detroit in that playoff game last year. They're dealing with 3 reserve offensive linemen on an O-line that isn't even good when fully healthy. They're down their 2 all-pro wide receivers, and their defense, which to their credit is mostly healthy, flat out is a bad defense. This is a bad football team. The team that they put on the field right now, one of the worst teams in the NFL. Like they're up there. One of the least talented teams in the NFL, considering who actually played today, and the Niners blew a 10-point fourth quarter lead to that team.
And that's the part that sucks about this. Because the 49ers were down some guys too, right? And Nick Bosa dealing with a rib thing, Treverius Ward dealing with knee and hamstring things, and then McCaffrey and Samuel and Kittle are all out. Like, the Niners have injury stuff of their own. And if they had just gone in and lost this game, if they lost, let's just say 24-20, and it was just kind of back and forth the whole time, and they got beat, that's bad. But we're not going, oh, man, worst loss of the Shanahan era. We're talking about, oh, the injuries they couldn't overcome and this and that, and when did these guys come back, blah, blah. They should have won this game. Sterling, I think you said there were like four different times they could have put this game away. And then they just never did. And that's the part that sucks. They were so clearly, even with their injuries, they were so clearly the better team. Until the final 4 minutes. When everything that could possibly go wrong, everything they could possibly do wrong, every play they could fail to execute, happened. And that's where this comes in, and you say this is the worst loss of the Shanahan era, because they were up 2 scores multiple times, including with 4 minutes left. And they couldn't put it away. That's brutal.
I think had Matthew Stafford come out from the get-go and had a phenomenal game, 400 passing yards and was dicing you up, you go, you know what? It's just one of those days. He's on another level. We have to just swallow it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. Matthew Stafford had 16 completions for 221 yards, 1 touchdown, was sacked 3 different times. Again, he was behind multiple times in this game. you gave the Rams a free 111 yards on penalties. The Niners gave this game away. And that is far worse than just getting beat outright. Again, 24-20, Stafford's just crushing it. You're like, you know what? Like prime Rodgers and prime Brady, they're taking over the game, and nothing you do can stop them. Okay, fine. You're 1-2, you got beat because Stafford's having a career day. You can swallow that and go, man, that sucks. Okay, you know, this game was, you had control. You were the better team. You were being explosive. You were getting the penalty calls. You were running the football. You were controlling the line of scrimmage for 2.5 quarters. You had a 2-score lead. And then in the blink of an eye, it was like, this thing's taking a turn. Now, how do you react? One of the biggest things in football is how do you make adjustments? San Francisco, through 3 games, and the main 2 they've lost, have not made adjustments, whether it's second half, whether it's just the third quarter, or the fourth quarter. There is no, hey, let's do our due diligence on how to stop what the opposing team is doing. It's, hey, we don't have an answer. Let's hope they don't score more points in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, not a lot of adjustments for the 49ers throughout the course of this one, and even throughout the course of 3 weeks now. Back out to the phones, 888-957-9570. Nathan's chilling in Beaumont, and he's now on 95.7 The Game on overtime. Hey, Nathan, how are you feeling after this Niner loss?
Yeah, like you guys and like all the other calls, I'm sick to my stomach because, like you said, we all saw the whole thing. And what I'm seeing is, and you guys have hit a lot of the points, is I go boil it down to situational football. You can own the game and control the game. And your quarterback, if like in football, if your quarterback is playing better than the opposition, you almost always win. But situational football is so crucial. It's not just about making plays during the game. It's making plays when you got to make them the most. And the Rams did that. The unsung hero for them, that defensive line didn't break. Normally when the 49ers run like they do, eventually they wear down a defense and they break, and then it becomes an avalanche, mm-hmm. and they can't, and the team just cries uncle and they give up. So the 49ers have like a Mike Tyson quality to them. And sometimes when they get on a roll, they destroy you. But if you let them hang around, if you can hang around just a little bit, they'll find a way to screw something up.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is too many guys in too many instances, either it's mental, and to me, Kyle Shanahan seems to be a guy who hammers the details, but there's something mentally awful that these guys just, like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? It's not just physical mistakes. They're making mental mistakes in these situations that's killing them. And it's just maddening and frustrating.
Yep. Yeah, Nathan, I think you make a lot of good points. Something that has really spoken to me, that what Nathan said, and it's the way I felt watching Niner football for a long time now, something that this team used to always be the best at was in second halves, in fourth quarters, they just wear you down. You get into the second half, you get into the fourth quarter, if it's a close game, those 3-yard runs in the first half are 7-yard runs, 12-yard runs in the second half. You can't get stops. You're killing a bunch of clock, and you can just run the ball to victory. That hasn't really been the case for the 49ers, at least to begin this season. Part of that is being without McCaffrey. Obviously, that's a major, major loss. But to the caller's point, the Niners even had that mindset and that skill, that characteristic, even before Christian McCaffrey was a 49er. They were doing that with the likes of Elijah Mitchell and Raheem Mostert way back when.
It's part of why they were always so good against the Rams. They would just bully them, push them around. And I actually, to the caller's point, I actually think they were doing that today. And that was when I told you,
this game's over.
This game's over is because that's what they had started to do. And we go back to that Kyle Juszczyk holding call. That was even 5 yards for Isaac Arendo. It went 9-yard run, 4-yard run, 5-yard run. They're deep in Rams territory. It's like, we've seen this movie a million times. They're going to score a touchdown here. Forget a field goal. They're going to run their way into the end zone and just put an exclamation point on this thing. Oh, but then holding call. Now it's 1st and 20. Now they're on the wrong side of the 50 again. Now that advantage that they had, that they've built, that the caller brings up, that they have used time and time again to win all these games under Kyle Shanahan, now that club's not in their bag anymore. Like, you're off the green. You don't get to use your putter now. And that was to me, of all the plays that we have circled and pointed out and dissected, that's the one that jumps out to me the most, because they were going to put that away. For when I said it was over, I never say that kind of thing out loud. But I was so confident because, man, how many times have you seen this team just get downhill at the end of a game, wear a team out, and they're going to score the minute and 12 seconds left. They're going to go up 14, night-night. See you next week. But then the holding call, game script changes, the whole game changed.
But the components are still there without Christian McCaffrey, without Deebo Samuel, even without George Kittle, to do exactly what San Francisco has done, mainly against the Rams, dating back to 2019. They didn't have this Deebo Samuel in 2019. He was a rookie. They didn't have Emmanuel Sanders until later in the season. They had Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman, who are fine. All respect to those players.
Mm-hmm.
They have far better personnel now to inflict Shanahan's will of run the football 35 times, we'll go for 200 yards, and we're just going to shove it down your throat until you can't breathe anymore and the game's over with.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, with those same components, they're not doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of the more head-scratching mysteries of this team to me, because you have all the pieces of the puzzle, yet it's not making a clear picture, which this team should be at least 2-1. Okay, you lost to the Vikings, chalk it up, Brian Flores, great job. But all the same components you had, even against better Rams teams, which, mind you, no Aaron Donald this year anymore, and you lose the first game without him against a younger, less put together rookie defensive coordinator. And I get the main issue this game was the defense not doing their job. Stafford's still there, McVay's still there. But even then, previous Niner teams with worst rosters would have won this game by 10, by 14,
mm-hmm.
which makes this so much harder to swallow.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's try to get some answers. Kyle Shanahan speaking post-game earlier today after the 49ers lost to the Rams in L.A., final score 27-24. We want you guys to hear all of Kyle Shanahan. We'll play it for you right now. Shanahan addressing the media after what Kyle Madsen is coining the worst loss of the Kyle Shanahan era, at least in the regular season. Here is the coach, Kyle Shanahan of the Niners, after today's loss.
I thought we had every chance to win that game. I thought also we had a number of times in the game we had opportunities to run away with it, especially early in the game, having that 14-point lead. And they hadn't really moved the ball on our D, and starting with that fake punt. I think after that, I feel like he went like 8 of his next 10 or something like that. So that got him back in the game. There at the end, we want to go in and score on that drive. Obviously, a touchdown. We ended up getting a field goal. I believe it made it 2 scores. But then they went right down and answered with a field goal. I thought we had a chance to make it a 2-score game. We ended up missing that field goal. And then I think they got a bomb where they went down there right away. They didn't make him really work for it. They got a big chunk, got behind their defense too much today, gave them some easy ones in that way, and we saw what happened then.
Have you ever been through a special teams stuff like this?
In my career, yeah, definitely. It was a disappointing block last week, definitely. Today, that fake punt, it's just the momentum in the game. That's where I thought we had a chance to run away with it, not give them any hope. And that gave them a lot of hope, got them back in it. And obviously would have loved to make that field goal. And then every punt return, I didn't really see it. They got to the left on our side. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but those were 3 big plays in the game.
Is there a common denominator on two of the completions?
No. Different guys, different coverages, no common denominator. Just how disappointing of a loss that was. I knew everyone was pissed without them having to tell me, and we should be. And when you have a game like that where you feel you have every chance to win and you don't get it done, those are usually the more disappointing ones. All 3 phases had their doing that, but there was also times that a phase could take over and not even allow it to come to something. And I told them last night, you got to take their hope away. You give Stafford too much hope, and you put the ball in his hands at the end. That's not a situation you want to be in. And we had every chance to avoid that situation a number of times, and we came up short.
How'd you feel Brock played?
It seemed like Brock played his ass off from what I saw. He made a bunch of big plays. He took some good shots down the field. It was tough to not come up with that one on that last drive, especially after missing that field goal. When Steph wasn't there, he did a hell of a job scrambling, making some off-schedule plays, and from what I saw, I thought he played his ass off.
You mentioned the other day when you talked about the Rams, how hard it can tell if you lose 2 in a row. How do you make sure this doesn't continue?
Same way as always. last year we lost three in a row. So you know how that's going to be regardless. You know, we lost three in a row after winning five in a row. But still, I know how that felt then. I know how our guys feel now. I know how we felt all week. Had a real good week of practice. Thought it would carry over to the game, and it did in a lot of areas. There were some areas where that's why I thought we had a chance to not only just win, but run away with it. And you still got to make those plays in the heat of battle, though. There were some big third downs where we could have got off the field. Obviously, the fake punt where we should have got off the field. But you let teams hang around in this league, let alone one with that type of quarterback. That stuff happens more often than not.
I'm not doing this on one player, but Ronnie Bell, does he have to make that catch?
Yeah, anybody does. There's other catches in the game that, you know, you want people to make, but and you hope it doesn't have to come down to that. But, you know, Ronnie will say the same thing. He needs to make that catch, but if he doesn't, then you'd like to be able to overcome it. And you can overcome it in other ways, but we didn't.
I know there are injuries, but we really haven't seen Ronnie Bell make any plays recently, maybe his whole career. Does he need to be on the field in that situation? Are there other receivers who should have a chance then?
I mean, there's five in a game. We're rotating a lot of guys in there, and he was the guy out there. You know, Chris Conley got that earlier in the game, but you know, those three receivers we have up. Ronnie's been having a hell of a camp, had a hell of a week of practicing, but he's got to come down with a catch.
What can you say about Juwan's group?
Juwan was unbelievable. I mean, I think the numbers show it, but more than the numbers, just. He was a warrior the whole game. He's always like that. Got a lot more opportunities today, and was automatic on every single one, and even some bad looks. When I didn't know if the ball should go there, you quickly saw after it that they weren't going to take that away from Juwan, and he was very inspiring today how he played.
Can't think of any game in your time here where you've lost like this, where you have to immediately you're in control. Maybe the Packers game a couple years ago, but do these, especially Brian, that you do you already feel it that this might be a little different than any of some of the other losses?
Yeah, you just know when you have the opportunities to end it. You know, you don't want it to get to that point at the end. But I definitely know we did. We had those opportunities. We could end it on offense, defense, or special teams. And when all three take their turns there at the end, those are the most frustrating ones.
Obviously, Jake made a lot of kicks this year, all of them. What was the consideration there for going for it versus kicking the 55 yard?
There was no consideration. I think it was fourth and five, maybe fourth and six. But it was about making a two-score game. I felt great about him. I don't feel much different from that distance to 48. You know, he's been real good with that stuff, and just missed it, and I'll have to learn from it.
The short one, I think Jordan maybe lost the yard. Did you end up kicking that because it was fourth and two?
Yeah, we were. It was very similar to the situation before, you know. I felt good finding a way to go up two scores. Definitely wanted it to be 14. The third and one, we knew if we got any on it, we were going to go for it on fourth, and we did. And the next time, we planned on going for it, but losing a yard and already being up seven, I thought the smart thing was to go get two scores. I felt their only chance to get back in the game was to make it a one-score game, give them the momentum by giving them a chance to stop us on fourth down, and felt pretty good once we got up two scores, but that quickly ended. Some good things. I mean, I thought, from what I saw, I thought he had a good game, but it was solid.
You mentioned that receivers are getting past your defense a little bit too much. Is there anything schematically that's happening there, or just it's just happening?
No. I mean, I think they got two times that they ran one route, one they missed in the first half. On the right side, they came back to it. They got by us again for the big play at the end of the game. They took a shot to Tutu, who we know can run, and that's what they're going to do with them. And I think one time we had a big PI, but those are normal coverages, what we've been doing for years.
How worried are you about Hargrave and the triceps?
I don't really know yet. You know, always when you hear triceps, you think tears and stuff, but from what they told me, they felt it was more a contusion and stuff, so that's better news. So we'll see, though.
Was Bosa close? Did you have to make a decision today, or was that always just kind of keep an eye on?
No, he was good. Yeah.
Did a couple more? Very part of you that maybe anticipated it would be incredibly tough, considering what you have to do, the focus you need, in a season like this coming up, so maybe a little harder?
No, I didn't really think in those terms. I mean, you think about that stuff in the offseason. But once you get to these games, it's just about that week. And I knew today would be a big challenge. You know, any time that a team is 0-2 and a team that does get embarrassed like they did the week before just on the scoreboard. And we talked about it all week, how we were going to get their best shot. And our goal was to give them no hope, to come out strong and kind of take that away. And it seemed like we started out with that plan pretty well. And once that fake punt happened and they got back in, it was much more of a battle.
Are you in safety in punt coverage, or was that not called?
Yeah, that's you know, we were expecting a fake punt there, and they still got our edge.
All right, thanks,
Jeff. All right, thanks,
Jeff. We had to wait till the very end, but there it was. Were you expecting a fake punt there? Yeah, we were expecting a fake punt, but they still got our edge. How? How does that happen? All right, guys. Hey, the one thing we can't do.
Oh, no.
I just don't understand. In that spot, if you're expecting, a fake punt,
just call a normal defense.
Run your defense out there.
Go. Don't send anyone back to return the punt.
Yeah, you're getting the ball.
If they punted and they down at the one, congratulations to the Rams. Good work.
The Seahawks had a 73-yard fake punt touchdown against the Niners at Levi's Stadium a couple years back. It was Travis Homer scored it.
Yeah, I remember.
And in that spot, because they were deep in their own territory, it's like, man, that's a gutsy spot to call a fake punt. Unexpected. Good work by Pete Carroll and stuff. Sean McVay, everybody knew, apparently, that they were going to fake that, and they still executed? I don't understand how that happens. That can't...
Like, okay, who... The point of a fake
punt... Whose head's got a roll, dog?
The point of a fake punt is because you're trying to catch the defense off guard. If the defense knows a fake punt's coming, you know what's better to call? An actual passing play with Matthew Stafford on the field.
Right.
Like, the Rams called the fake punt because they wanted to catch the Niners off guard, because their thought is, if we don't catch the Niners off guard, we're not going to get it.
Yes.
Apparently, they did not catch the Niners off guard, but they still got it.
Didn't matter.
They just killed the entire point of a fake punt. Like, but it didn't matter.
They're going to win, six games this year. Go ahead, sorry.
That feels like what's happening, where San Francisco knows what's coming. Oh, they're running bunches? Let's not run press coverage. Same thing happened against the Vikings as it happened today. And I get it, fans can see from the television broadcast, oh, that reminds me of this play last week or that play 2 weeks ago. I totally get that.
Mm.
But when the head coach knows, hey, they're probably going to run a fake punt, let's put something out there to stop it. If they get it, we at least tried our best. Kyle said, hey, it's fine. Let it happen, essentially. How is that okay? I mean, it's not, obviously, but how is that excusable, if you will?
How many times is special teams going to have to kill the 49ers before Kyle Shanahan cares about it?
That includes the playoffs.
It's happened so many times. And it's clearly a thing where he goes, yeah, I just, as long as I don't have to care about that, then that phase doesn't matter.
Like, the Niners special teams are at a point where as long as it doesn't bury the Niners in a singular game, I feel like it's a win. The Niners almost never get the major positive game-changing play for them. Like, positive game-changing play for them. Like, when was the last time the Niners had a major special teams play go their way?
The 2021 divisional playoffs against the Packers. They had a blocked field goal and the blocked punt for a touchdown. But that was only because Green Bay was like the only team in the league with worse special teams than the Niners.
Like, as long as they come out even and no one makes a great special teams play against them, or they don't melt down and get a punt blocked like last week, as long as that doesn't happen, you feel like you're good. You're good if you're the Niners, because generally speaking, the only major special teams plays that happens are ones that drastically kill your chance to win a football game.
Yeah. Yes.
About it.
And somehow they can't get it right. They have, it feels like a couple times a year, big kick return. Couple times a year, big punt return, including today. The one thing you can't do in this spot is allow a big punt return. Oh, big punt return.
Plus a missed field goal.
How do these things happen? We had a caller a while back talk about situational football. That to me is all situational, and they just can never get it right.
It feels like Kyle Shanahan is saying, if I never have to rely on it, I'll just score more points. I'll have my defense stop the opposing offense, which is great. You used to be able to do that, but this year you can't do that. And unfortunately, even when you could, special teams cost you come playoff time. It cost you against Seattle in Seattle, the Trenton Cannon game, where you got injured early and you lost that game because you just couldn't stop a punt or a fake punt. Kick returns. This team hasn't had a good kick returner since Ted Ginn. Robbie Gould's been gone for a year, now 2 years. They can't make 50-yard field goals since you had David Akers and Green Bay making 63-yarders off the goalpost. You can't tackle when you sign Oren Burks and George Odom and you get Ray McCloud and you toss money, quote-unquote. You toss $5 million at it and said, fix it. You bring in Brian Schneider, who has kind of made the unit worse. You fire Steve Wilks, but not Brian Schneider?
Crazy.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, rough. Bad special teams day, bad defensive day. I thought the offense for the most part was good, but not good enough apparently to make up for the bad days of the special teams and the defense. Niners lose by a final score of 27-24. All right, we got one more segment to get through here on Best of the Game, or pardon me, on Overtime. Before we do wrap things up, we will hand out game balls. I'm not sure who's going to get game balls.
I've got ideas.
On defense, we will figure something out. Stay tuned as we try to twist this in any sort of positive way. Best of luck to us, because that's going to be difficult to do. One final segment to get to as Overtime continues. Niners fall to the Rams 27-24. More OT next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
One more segment to get to here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. That highlight you just heard, Adam Amin calling one of three Juwan Jennings touchdowns today. But unfortunately for the Niners, it comes in a losing effort. 27-24 was the final score. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. Guys, how about this statistic? With 11 receptions, 175 yards, and three receiving touchdowns, Juwan Jennings becomes just the second player in Niners franchise history to register 10 or more catches, 150 or more receiving yards, and three or more receiving touchdowns in a single game.
Dang.
Joining, it's the obvious one, Jerry Rice, who's involved in every single one of these crazy statistics. But the fact that he's only the second Niner receiver ever to put up those numbers is absolutely wild. He joins Jerry Rice there. By the way, Jerry Rice did it three different times, including one time where he had 14 catches for 289 yards and three touchdowns.
Crazy.
Juwan Jennings also becomes the first Niner wide receiver to have three or more receiving touchdowns in a game since Terrell Owens did it back in 2001. The keynote there is wide receiver, because George Kittle did just do it last year against the Dallas Cowboys nearly a year ago. In a couple of weeks, it will be exactly a year ago. But Juwan Jennings, a historic day to be up there with that company, T.O., and Jerry Rice, the best receiver to ever play the game, and another Hall of Fame wide receiver. Juwan Jennings absolutely put together an incredible performance. But unfortunately for him, this is going to be remembered as the game the Niners choked away a 10-point fourth quarter lead against the Rams, not the game where Juwan Jennings introduced himself.
No, unfortunately it's not.
Yeah.
He had more touchdowns today than he had in his previous 31 games combined. That's crazy. Like, that's totally nuts. Two seasons and then the first couple games of this season. Can I real quick, before we get to talking about how good Juwan Jennings was?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking about this at the break, and the whole Kyle Shanahan, we were expecting a fake punt thing there. Brian Schneider's not the special teams coach by next Sunday. A head coach saying that, instead of being like, oh, you know, it's doing the normal coach thing. No, they made a good play, and, you know, we got to execute and blah, 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 blah. The fact that he was like, we were expecting a fake punt, and they just got the edge. Like, that to me is a head coach who's fed up with a special teams coordinator. Anyway.
So this is Brian Schneider's get out of the booth and on the field game.
I think this is a Brian Schneider's get out of Santa Clara and literally go anywhere else kind of game.
Wow, dude.
I'm dead serious.
How does that happen? If Kyle Shanahan saying we knew that the fake punt was coming, but you still just called your normal punt return play?
That's what happened, I guess.
If that is what happened, then yes, Brian Schneider should not be coordinating the special teams group going forward.
There's been too many things going wrong in that phase. We were just talking about it last segment. There are just so many little things that you can point to over the years, and particularly the last couple of years, where it's like, man, how do you have the fake punt, your kicker's missing field goals, you're blowing the punt coverage at the end of the game. Like, this is a phase that Kyle Shanahan wants to not have to worry about. He wants to kick the ball out of the end zone on kickoffs, and he wants to just take the ball and hold on to the ball on kickoff returns, and he wants to not worry about his field goal kicker. He wants to be really confident calling on his field goal kicker to make kicks. And that's it. He doesn't need it for big plays. He just wants it to be a part of the game that happens, and then get the offense or defense on the field. And they can't do that.
It's like one thing for a kicker to miss kicks. That's like less on the special teams coordinator, and it's just on the kicker. Like, okay, you missed one. That's unfortunate. But even just the last 2 weeks, you have a punt that's blocked.
Yep.
Your punter, I don't know, has a brain fart, doesn't even decide to touch the guy who recovered the punt, so he gains an extra 20 yards. You have Deebo Samuel bringing the ball 5 yards deep into the end zone out, when if you just take a knee in the end zone, you get it out to the 30-yard line, you don't even get to the 15, plus there was a penalty on that return. You're backed up even further. You have Ronnie Bell muffing the punt, which ultimately didn't turn into a turnover, and maybe that's more in the vein.
Cowling.
You're right. Sorry. Cowing, muffing that punt. Maybe that's more in the vein of a kicker missing a kick. Sometimes that just happens, unfortunate, but hard to blame that, I suppose, on a special teams coordinator. But then today, you're right. You have the terrible coverage on the punt return in a moment where you can't allow that to happen. It's on the special teams coordinator to say, hey, Mitch, boot this out of bounds.
Yep, kick it out of bounds.
Kick it out of bounds, like whatever. Or what?
Kick it off the scoreboard so you're.
Don't put it in play. Just don't put it in play. And then you have, as you're talking about, this conundrum with the fake punt where apparently the Niners knew it was coming but couldn't do anything about it. If all of that is 100% true and there's no subterfuge going on here, it would seem like mismanagement if the Niners were just like, okay with this continuing forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Brian Schneider is going to be with them for much longer.
You agree, Sterling?
He shouldn't have been here this year. Shouldn't have been here last year. I mean, why wait three games into the season when it's not like this hasn't happened before?
Right.
You can't ride the coattails of an NFC or division around game in Green Bay because Hufanga got his hands up and Jordan Willis did a job once, right? Like, this has been happening for regular season games and playoff games, and because it hasn't cost you one of those games, it's like, oh, whatever, you know, we'll put that in the corner, let it sit there, and we'll be okay with it, you know, not in my eyesight, not in my peripheral. Well, it's cost you two games this year. Now, in that same conversation, Brian Schneider also called Jake Moody's workout pre-draft the perfect workout, which Jake Moody could be great. We don't know. Time will tell, obviously, but yeah, that's a third-round pick right there. That's the third highest drafted kicker since 2004. These are decisions that Brian Schneider is responsible for. So if you weren't going to fire him after Jake Moody being drafted, the constant special teams blunders that have hurt you in multiple big games, albeit haven't cost you the game because your offense is so good and your defense is just so stout, I have a hard time believing Kyle Shanahan might say, I'm done after a week 3 loss against the Rams.
Yep.
He should. I don't think he will.
Yeah. I think the way Shanahan might view that is, well, if I fire him now, I'm admitting to a mistake I just made a couple of months ago, and I don't want to admit to that mistake. I'm going to try to write it out, and hopefully that it gets better. But it might not be getting better.
Yeah, it happened last year, too.
It happened last year, too. I mean, this is the conversation. Maybe this is a little bit more aggressive around Brian Schneider versus how it was around Steve Wilks last year. But Shanahan very publicly threw his defensive coordinator under the bus in the first half of last season. What was that? That was week 7. They went 5-0, lost one, and then lost to Minnesota on Monday night. Week 7, Shanahan threw his defensive coordinator under the bus, kept him all season long, and then, as you pointed out earlier, Sterling, fired him a day after the Super Bowl loss.
Part of ways.
He probably knew the whole time that was going to happen, unless they win the Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, they still might fire him.
Maybe. Like, given how everything kind of went down there, like, I think there was just a legitimate disconnect in what their defense was supposed to look like.
Shanahan knew probably he was going to fire him the whole time, and he probably might be feeling the same way about Brian Schneider, but maybe he's not willing to pull the trigger week 3 of the regular season.
Shout out to the fellow sickos listening, by the way, who are like, yeah, special teams coordinator. But it's so much harder to fire your defensive coordinator and hire a new one in season, or bring in an interim one in season. Whereas, like, with special teams, I'm guessing Kyle Shanahan's like, whoever the assistant special teams coordinator is, you're up. Figure out how to cover a punt. Job's on you. Goodbye. Like, that I think I can see happening.
Yeah. All right. 888-957-9570. A couple more calls to get to. Low and Big Al. We'll close out with you, and then we got to hand out game balls. I don't know how we're going to do it. We're going to try our best. Up next is Low, who's in San Leandro. Low, how you feeling after this Niner loss?
This is extremely embarrassing right here. Okay? The Rams are in our division. We've been beating them twice a year for the last I don't know how many seasons. I believe the season they went to the Super Bowl, we beat them twice in that regular season. That's number one. Number two, I'm sick and tired of Kyle Shanahan. Okay? He's had the 49ers in 2 Super Bowls that we were in a position to win. Could have and should have won. And then his stu- stupid post-game comments to make matters worse. I still remember his post-game comments after the Super Bowl about not using McCaffrey like he should have. And speaking about special teams, how about Ray Ray in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right, Lo.
Totally.
I mean, there was a muff punt in the Super Bowl that cost you there as well.
Huge. Yeah.
That might be more on an individual player versus anything else, but it's a play that I think signals a larger overall trend, which is special teams have had a net major negative impact on the Niners over the course of the last four or five years.
Yeah. Scarred from special teams mishaps.
I mean, don't even remind me of the NFC Championship game against the Giants.
Well, you brought it up, not me.
Kyle Williams.
Hey, all right. I'm going to use 20 seconds of tangent here.
Yeah.
Don't have a punt returner. This is a completely separate thing. This is just a personal pet peeve. Don't have a punt returner. You're getting the ball. Just try and block it. Send 11 every time. Try and block it.
They're gonna rough the kicker, and you know they're gonna rough. Automatic first down. It's gonna happen.
Probably. Anyways,
I like the aside. I think I remember reading something Bill Walsh back in the day saying that the best strategy for punt returns is to just go back, have someone go back there and return it. Not return it, just catch it. Fair catch every single time.
Yeah.
Just go back and catch it. Yeah. Don't even think about trying to move.
Yep.
Just fair catch. That's it. We'll take it wherever we catch it. If it goes over our head, we plant our feet at the 10. If it's over our head, let it bounce. Maybe it goes into the end zone. That's all you do. Never, ever try to return a punt.
Yep.
Yep. If the Niners believe that, maybe.
The amount of great punt returns that happen, not against the 49ers, apparently, the amount of great punt returns that happen pales in comparison to the amount of like disasters that happen
in
punt returns.
Yes. Net, you'd come out on a positive on the positive side if you just didn't try to gain any yards on any punt returns.
Unless you're facing the Niners, in which case, trying to turn every punt because you're going to break one.
Every single one.
But in this instance, you are the Niners. So if my math checks out, you're never going to be facing the Niners.
Gross.
So you should just call a fair catch every single time.
Gross.
Okay, last call to get to. Then we'll hand out game balls. Big Al's in Chico. The little note here says Big Al is disgusted with the 49ers. Hell Big Al, we feel you. Take us home, Big Al. What do you think of this Niner team?
Okay, I have a couple things to talk about.
Yes.
A great show, by the way, guys.
Thanks.
Hey.
Thank you.
It seems like I totally agree with you guys about the special teams. That it seems like almost every special teams play that happens, I'm like cringing. When Moody comes out, I'm just have no faith in the guy at all. Our third round draft pick, right? And also, I don't know why Shanahan has this, like, ever since the beginning of his coaching career, when things are going great in the running game, why don't you just stick with it? I think that Mason could have just kept going. We were up by 7 and just we could have just ran it down their throats. Me and my friends were at a bar in Chico, and we were like, we got this, we got this. And all of a sudden, he tries to be cute, stuff like that. He's done it so many times in his career, like even in the Atlanta-New England game. Run the ball. Run it. Waste some clock. I mean, I just don't get this guy's offensive, like plan when he's up. I mean, do you guys agree?
Big Al, I think you're a lot of Niner fans are in agreement with you. I have an entirely differing opinion on what happened in that Super Bowl when he was the OC for the Falcons, and I think it has almost no bearing on any conversation about Shanahan now. There was so much other stuff that happened in that game, and if you really go through the play-by-play, I don't think Shanahan really did much wrong there. But I'll be the first to admit that I, generally speaking, always, every single week, I find something I dislike with how Kyle Shanahan handled the clock. Like, He is always so much more comfortable playing it safe and being conservative as opposed to being aggressive when it comes to clock management. It really frustrates me. And when you have, maybe today is a little bit of a different example because you didn't have McCaffrey and Debo and Kittle, but take the team last year, for example. When you have all pros everywhere, be aggressive. Maximize the number of possessions that you have, the number of plays that you run. You have better offensive talent than anybody else in the league, so maybe today isn't the best example of that because they were down three of their top guys. But overall, I think I'm with Big Al, guys. Shanahan's clock management has always been a point of contention for me, and it feels like he's not maximizing what this offense can be. He could get a little bit more out of him if he was just at times a little bit more aggressive with how he used the clock and how he used his timeouts and all of that.
I think this goes back to something we talked about earlier, where teams know, dang, we cannot stop the run right now, but if we get in this defensive personnel, they're going to throw it. The Chiefs knew in the Super Bowl in 2019, when Terrell Suggs was on the field, that the Niners were going to throw it because they were going to try and get George Kittle matched up against Terrell Suggs because Terrell Suggs was on the field to stop the run. That was it. So the Niners went, yep, we're going to throw it, even though everybody knew that the Chiefs weren't going to stop Raheem Mostert. And I think that is, again, one of the flaws with how Kyle Shanahan views football is, well, hey, they're in this personnel grouping. Well, if we're in this personnel grouping and we execute perfectly, then we'll be able to throw the football. But it's like, that's what the defense wants. They want you to throw it. They want to attack your right tackle that they don't think is very good. They want to attack your inexperienced right guard. They want to force Brock Purdy to run around and have to throw it to Ronnie Bell or whoever, or scramble for a yard. Like, that's what teams want. So I agree with Big Al in a sense. I think Kyle Shanahan's game management can definitely be shoddy, especially when they're up.
Which makes it more shocking, the fact that we can sit back and realize, hey, Kyle's had these problems since at least 2016, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we can notice them. And I get, you know, Shanahan's a smart guy. He knows much more than we do and everything. But you talk to any Niner fan, the common phrase I hear is Shanahan is too smart for his own good. And he outsmarts himself. He's like, I got him right where I want him. Three and out, boom, now you're losing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he passes the ball three times in a row. Now, Purdy was really effective in this game. Juwan Jennings was stellar. They were moving the ball by throwing the football in this game. Mm-hmm. Purdy was phenomenal. Like they were, all their touchdowns were through the air for a reason. It's a bad Rams secondary. But if all the opposing team has to do is change personnel to force Shanahan to go, I got to change the entire game plan. I'll stop running the football for 5 yards a pop, which will give you a first down and in two plays. And if not, you can go for it on fourth down and still get a first down. Then that's an internal issue that has never been addressed through, I don't know, what is this now? He's eighth year as a head coach and is probably 12th year as a play caller. Like, that's not going away. That's not changing this year, not changing in week four. This is who Kyle is. This is who he's going to be probably forever, unless something drastic happens, which you think losing two Super Bowls would be that. It still hasn't changed.
Yeah. So it's his offense, his play calling, he, I guess maybe specifically, is easily manipulated, if I can spit it out.
It seems that way. The problem with it specifically today, if the Niners execute in the passing game,
it doesn't matter.
Ronnie Bell makes
that catch, it doesn't matter.
If Ronnie Bell isn't on the field and it's Chris Conley or Jacob Cowing or whoever, like that. Or
maybe if it's Brandon Ayuk.
Or
maybe he doesn't catch it. But.
Sure. But I thought, I didn't think the play calling was necessarily the problem for
Agreed.
Me today.
Yeah. No, on the Ronnie Bell one, his quarterback found an open receiver down the field, and the quarterback put it right where his receiver could catch it, and the receiver just didn't make a play. Maybe it's similar to the special teams conversation about a kicker happens to miss a kick. A player happens to drop a pass, and it's not to blame the play caller for that, not to blame the quarterback for that. It's just simply the receiver didn't make a play on that one play, and it's unfortunate because it's a reason why you end up losing the game. Okay, a few minutes to go here in overtime on 95-7 the game. The Niners fall 27-24. We got to hand out game balls. I'm not exactly sure how we're going to find three Niners on offense and defense in this one, but we will try our best. Kyle, why don't you start? Give out game ball number one for the Niners offense.
Shout out to Brock Purdy, man.
Okay.
I'm going to start there.
One of two obvious ones.
I had a lot of questions about how he would handle himself in this game today, and I thought he was very, very good. He made a ton of money throws. I believe six drops out of his eight incompletions. Shout out to Brock Purdy. He was stellar.
Yeah, he was good. Sterling, offensive game ball number two.
Should I take the obvious one, or should I go with the Los Angeles Ram, who kind of equaled how great the Niners one was today?
It's up to you.
I'll give you the gimme. How about Kyren Williams today? He had three touchdowns on his own. He had two rushing touchdowns, a receiving touchdown, over 111 yards altogether on 26 touches. Juwan Jennings, who I'm sure Mark will pick, was phenomenal. Kyren Williams was also really good for the Rams. That Niners defensive line looked exhausted early in the third quarter, and Kyren Williams, again, he wasn't having a great game on the ground in regards to yards per carry, 3.7, still was able to get it done in pivotal moments for the Rams over and over and over again. So a three-touchdown day for Kyren Williams gets the job done.
Yeah, I'm playing against him in fantasy, and did not need that. Did not need that.
I had Juwan Jennings today, so I was pretty happy.
There you go. Nice. Congratulations. Yeah, Juwan Jennings will be my game ball of the week for this one. 12 targets. He turned those 12 targets into 11 catches. Whenever he was targeted, he caught it just about every single time. 175 yards and three touchdowns. He's in company with Jerry Rice and T.O., two of the greatest receivers to ever play this game. Two of the greatest, if not the two greatest wide receivers to ever play in this historic organization. Juwan Jennings was awesome in this one, and he gets my game ball. 12 targets, 11 catches, 175 yards, and three touchdowns. Okay, on to the defenses. Side of the football. This is also a difficult one to go through. The Niners did have three sacks in this game, one by Hargrave, one by Malik Collins, and one by, I am absolutely going to butcher this last name. Why don't you help me out, Kyle?
Sam Ekwonu.
His first career sack. Now has a sack and a half in his NFL career. He was elevated from the practice squad because the Niners were uncertain if Bosa was going to go. Bosa did go, but Sam Ekwonu did get in and registered a sack. But I will go my defensive game ball. I'll go with Talanoa Hufanga.
Yeah.
He came back, made his 2024 debut, seven tackles, and as we talked about earlier, maybe the bar for getting a game ball for the defense today is not making a back-breaking mistake. My first watch through the game, I'll go back and watch it for a second time tonight, but my first watch of the game, not a back-breaking mistake for Talanoa Hufanga. I know that's a low bar to clear, but for me, today that's enough to get a defensive game ball. Sterling, what about you?
Yeah, there's not many, unfortunately. I know we talked about safeties a lot in this game. I will take the counterpart to Hufanga, Jair Brown.
Okay.
It wasn't a great game by all intents and purposes, but first drive of the second half for the Rams, he comes out, gets a big third and five stop, knocks the ball out of Colby Parkinson's hands.
Yeah.
I thought, again, wasn't a great game by any means, but you look at what he did. He had four total tackles, two pass deflections. Again, that big third down stop gave San Francisco an opportunity, which inevitably put up another touchdown, gave them a two-score lead. So I'll give it to Jair Brown in this one.
Like it. Good pick. Bring us home, Kyle. What do you got?
Dude, shout out to Sam Ekwonu, man.
Yeah.
First career full sack. I didn't think he was gonna play when Nick Bosa was healthy.
Yeah, me neither.
I thought he got called up just in case.
Yeah.
But no, he got in the game. He came up with a sack. That was his only tackle. Shout out to Sam Ekwonu, man.
Okay. Congratulations, Sam. A historic day for him. His first career full sack. He had a half a sack going in. Now a sack and a half under his belt in the NFL. But unfortunately, it wasn't a losing effort for the 49ers as they fall. Final score 27-24. They have a chance to get back to 500 when they take on the New England Patriots in week number four. Guys, all I will say is if that is also a loss, yikes.
No show for me if that one's a loss.
Yikes.
I'm out
of here. Oh, my God. We got a lot riding on that game, no doubt. Until then, looking forward to it. Hopefully, we have a win to celebrate. You weren't here with us last week, Kyle, but Sterling and I thought maybe you were the Niners' good luck charm because you were here week one, they won. You were not here week two, they lost. You come back week three, and they lost, so throw that out the window. You're not the good luck charm. None of us are, apparently.
I basked in the glow for a week, for sure.
Congratulations. All right, thanks. That'll do it. So for us here today, we'll be back next week, Niners and Patriots, a week from today. And we got you covered on overtime here on 95.7 The Game. Okay, for Kyle Madsen, for Sterling Bennett, for Carter behind the glass, for our guy Cam, cutting all the sound up behind the scenes. Shout out to all of our listeners and callers as well. My name is Mark Randy, signing off. Niners fall to the Rams, 27-24. Make sure you're locked in all day tomorrow to 95.7 The Game. You are not going to want to miss it. Thanks for tuning in, and have a good night.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.